keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Podcast edition, and therefore, sorry, no music.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Absolutely. Always was, always will be. And I think that's such an important thing to be acknowledging nowadays with the current political climate.
Indeed, indeed.
Welcome to Queering the Air. You are live here with Atlas. I use all pronouns and you can't get them wrong. I'm here with my co-host, Mads. Mama Mads, what's going on with you?
Mama Mads is also known as Madison Moffat. Mm-hmm. Pronouns she and her.
Thank you, Mads.
Thank you.
Today is a very special episode of Queering the Air.
Every episode is, but I agree that this is also.
Yes, it is. We are going to lace up our skates, we're going to pop on some protective gear, and we're going to get to know all about roller derby.
Excellent.
So we do have a guest in the studio with us today. We have Nicole, also known as Muggles. Do you want to do a little intro?
Hello, yes, my name is Muggles, or Nicole. My pronouns are she and they, and I'm an official within the roller derby community.
Yeah, an official. So we didn't just get somebody who skates around and plays the game. We've got the expert today.
Oh, we absolutely do. and I'm very much looking forward to this wonderful conversation we're going to have in a little bit about roller derby. But before we get stuck into today's show,
yes.
A little word from our friend Sally at Out of the Pan.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
Thank you for that lovely word from Sally Goldner of Out of the Pan.
The OG of queer radio.
Absolutely. highly recommend, if you're enjoying Queering the Air, give Out of the Pan a bit of a listen.
Absolutely.
And so, it is 3:04 p.m. here at 3CR 855 on your AM dial. And you're here on Queering the Air. It is our first segment of the show, so what would that be?
Mind boggles.
Yeah, I can't think. Hang on.
But I do feel a particular compulsion coming on.
I do. It's coming, it's rising.
I can feel it.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, yes!
Meow, 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 meow,
meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
Meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
Ah, well, thank you for that. Yeah, thanks, Muggles, and thanks, Mads. We had a bit of a fun with that one.
Oh, always.
But this is the segment of Queering the Air here at 3CR, where we talk about what's happening in our local queer community. So the first thing that we have on our little list today is, once again, Fruity Loops is happening this evening.
Fruity Loops.
Fruity Loops. That's going to be happening from 6 p.m. at the Littlefoot Bar in Footscray.
Yeah. And I'm going there this time because it's a very special one, isn't it? Because it has pasta.
Pasta. Oh, well, every Sunday has pasta, Mads.
Well, that's why it's special every time.
It is special every time. They have specials on pasta. I think it costs you like $15 or $20 a bowl, and
amazing.
It's
though.
Really beautiful food at Littlefoot Bar for sure.
Yeah, and we're not talking about you order carbonara and then you get something which is a bit of cream and a bit of, you know, chook and a bit of mushroom in it.
They know
what they're doing.
There's no cream, there's no chook,
No,
it's just eggs and parma and some good old I've forgotten the name of the meat that they use, but beautiful.
Yeah. Is it prosciutto?
No.
No, it's like a bacon style.
I feel like it starts with
like
a G.
Like a porky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, beautiful food. Beautiful food down at Littlefoot Bar.
Yes. Awesome.
From 6 p.m., Mads, myself, and Oscar, our other co-host, are going to be there tonight.
But so you still might want to show up.
Yeah, maybe. Like, consider it. We'll make sure we sit in a little corner. Should be a wonderful night.
Yeah, anyone that donates to us for Radiothon, for instance, the first prize is, they get to spend 5 minutes with us at Fruity Loops, and the loser gets to spend a whole hour.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. All right, on to our next event that's happening in the queer world.
In the queer world.
Yeah. This one is one that if you don't have a ticket for, you've missed out, sadly. But I would like to mention that Unicorns is happening next weekend.
Unsurprisingly sold out.
Yes, unsurprisingly sold out. It's their first event in a very long time, I think since mid last year or something.
Of what was a very popular event.
Incredibly popular. Yeah. That's why I think it sold out within the first day of the tickets being
released. No surprise. Yeah.
So that's going to be a big, beautiful queer party. Mm. It's always very gender bent. It's always very glittery. And the theme this time is Enchanted Forest. So
cool.
It should be quite a beautiful night if you've got tickets. Hope to see you there.
Where else would you see a unicorn but in an enchanted forest?
Exactly. Next on our list, this is one actually from Muggles themselves.
Mm.
We have Roller Derby Round 2 happening on Saturday, the 19th of July at 12:30 p.m. at the Victoria University.
Lovely.
Yes. Yes. I'm not sure which.
Is that the VU?
That
yeah, in Footscray? Is
yes.
it the Footscray one? In VU?
Yeah, Footscray.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a metro season with Westside Roller Derby, Victorian Roller Derby, and I think there's a team coming from interstate as well.
Beautiful.
Will there be market stalls there as well, like the last time? Yeah. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a beautiful little market at the last Roller Derby tournament, Otter, which was the open tournament to all, I believe. Yes.
Yeah.
Which was quite a beautiful event as well.
Wonderful.
I've got two more left.
I've got two.
More left. Oh, we've got three more left.
We've got three more left.
I've got one.
Oh, we've got four more left. My fourth one, not the four more, but the fourth one,
yes.
is the Focus on Chinese Queer Cinema is still happening at Acme.
Yes.
Tomorrow night, Monday night, we have a film showing called Queer China, Comrade China.
Hmm.
This is a rare chronicle of LGBTQIA+ activism, cultural shifts, and legal reform from 1978 until 2008.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful that ACMI, the Australian Centre for the Moving Image, is showing their support for Pride Month this time by having something that's not just Pride but focused, but also intersectionally so.
I mean, that is something that I think we should really be touching on Queering the Air, is that it is Pride Month.
Yes, it is.
I want to call out for myself, but maybe a sentiment that might be shared across the community is it doesn't feel like Pride Month this year.
Yeah. I don't think just about any celebration feels too celebratory at the moment. I think it's just like the zeitgeist. People are fed up with other things that are happening around the globe. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. And I think that it's very hard to celebrate when we have our brothers and sisters over in the US being told that they can't exist.
Yes.
And our brothers and sisters over in the UK who can't go to the bathroom.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And there's other areas where transgender, diverse, non-binary and, you know, lesbians and gays would also feel, you know, in sync with, such as we would always feel for everyone at the moment in Palestine, mm-hmm. you know. So queer movements are almost always aligned with movements around globally with regards to social justice, and this is no exception.
Absolutely not. And that's what I love about our community is that we do consider the intersections.
Yes.
For the most part, and try to include people from all corners and all walks of life.
Yeah, so a shout out to all those who are of Palestinian origin, particularly here in Australia, who are part of our queer community. We love you, and we hope you're doing okay despite the circumstances.
Absolutely. And we do have an email address now here at Queering the Air.
We do.
So I would really love to invite anybody who feels like they want to talk about this Pride Month, talk about what's going on in the air, shoot us an email.
Yes.
That's on our socials. If you look up 3CR Queering the Air on Instagram, you will be able to have a look at that. And yeah, maybe pop us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
And note that there are two Queering the Air Instagram accounts. One is 3CR Queering the Air. Mm-hmm. The other is Queering the Air 3CR. You'll notice one is defunct, isn't being used. You'll notice the other has brand new posts. So please, you know, connect with that one if you have not already, because we're starting afresh with our socials.
Yes, and that is 3CR Queering the Air, not Queering the Air 3CR.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful. My last one before we have two from our lovely Mads and Muggles.
Mills.
Is there is a beautiful event happening in Hawkstow Park Picnic Area in South Morang on the 28th of June at 1 p.m. It's called Queer by Nature, Exploring Ritual, Belonging and Nature Through Ecotherapy.
That's great.
Should be a really beautiful event. I don't know too much more about it than its description, but I know that as a queer myself, I love to get out in nature with other queers.
Yes.
And I think that should be a really beautiful afternoon if you're in the South Morang area and want to give it a go.
Yeah. I've noticed that there's a increasing holistic nature to a lot of the events that are occurring. You know, we've got things like breathing techniques being taught. You know, there's queer massage events that are occurring, you know, trying to connect with nature. And although, you know, being a punk at heart, hippie-ish tendencies tend to rile me up a little. Mm-hmm. I have to say, on the other hand, I'm actually quite liking this new feel.
I quite love it too. It's been really grounding, and it's nice to have these spaces popping up around Melbourne that are dry events.
Yes.
That aren't centred around partying and drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. No, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, I like a good drink. Anyone that knows me knows that. But I also like to stay in control.
Absolutely.
So dry events I love too.
Yes, they can be quite fun, as fun as non-dry events, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I would absolutely agree. Mm. In fact, you know, let's say 40% of the time, more fun.
Absolutely.
Particularly once it gets late.
Often cheaper as well.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Much cheaper, that's true.
So much more fun for your wallet.
Absolutely. Now, Mads, what did you have for me today?
Well, this is a little shameless plug for something I'm involved in, you know. Everyone else in Queering the Air team is doing it. Why should I not?
Absolutely.
So Trans Creator Zine has monthly writing workshops that take place at the Affirmation Station. They're normally every fourth Sunday. The reason why I thought I'd broadcast this particular month is because, unlike typical, we're actually having it on the fifth Sunday of this month. In other words, next Sunday at the Affirmation Station. So it's a writing session where people can get together, and we just have a few friendly prompts where we, as we like to say, fool ourselves and each other into realizing that we can write after all.
Absolutely. I've heard some wonderful feedback from people that I know that have attended your group.
Oh, it's just, you know, and it's such an amazing group, you know, and believe me, although I might, you know, play my part in facilitating, it's the group, you know, it's the group that is creating this space. And I think that's part of what makes it special. So that's at the Affirmation Station on 279 Lygon Street, Brunswick East. And it would start at 11 p.m.
p.m.?
11 a.m.?
Writers are real party animals. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Some of them were. But anyway, 11 a.m. at the Affirmation Station on next Sunday.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mads.
Thank you.
And I hope that some of our listeners come along and write some stuff with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Surprise yourself and each other.
Beautiful. And Muggles, what do you have for us today?
Well, I figured once I told you about roller derby, everyone would be so excited they'd want to come along. So I'd just let you know about some of the events. And you've already flagged one.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one I wanted to flag was the Statewide Stampede. So it's a monthly roller derby tournament that runs all across regional and metro Melbourne. And our next round, it's a double header round. So it'll be two days of play. And it's on the 12th and 13th of July at Springer's Leisure Centre, which is 400 Cheltenham Road, Keysborough. It'll run from like 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. There'll be games. Entry's usually about $5-$10 a day. Market stalls, 5 games a day. A lot of derby action. It should be really fun.
A lot of derby action.
Oh, and we'll get into what that derby action is going to be in just a little bit.
Can't wait.
And we'll do another plug at the end just so you all remember what those events are.
Yes.
So this has been...
Meow, 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 meow,
meow. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack indeed. So it is currently 3:16 p.m. on Sunday, the 26th of June. You're here with me, Atlas, on Queering the Air 3CR.
And it's the year of our Lord 2025.
It sure is.
Yes.
It sure is. And we have a little treat for our wonderful listeners today. The wonderful G Flip.
Yes.
She has released a new song.
She has. The non-binary queen / king / NB has arisen again.
And the king / queen / NB is incredibly relevant to this song, Mads.
Yes.
I have had a little listen in anticipation for showing it. It's got a fantastic music clip that I highly recommend if you're into music clips. But
yes.
For our particular medium of the radio, we're just going to play you their new song. It is called Big Ol' Hammer by G Flip, and we'll be back with you after this song to talk all things roller derby.
As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.
And Mads, you make me feel like a man.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Let's explore that later.
Attention.
Let's explore that.
Yes.
You know what I really love about this whole, you know, new release? Another thing that's really buzzing at the moment is what G Flip did at the MTV Live's Queer Music Week and really emphasising their... as their representation as a non-binary musician, G Flip basically sung It's Raining Men, except instead it was It's Raining Thems.
Oh, I love that.
It's just, and, you know, yeah, a few people I know have, you know, have heard this already, and they're not necessarily within the in crowd, the hip crowd, so it must be spreading and doing the rounds, and I just think that's great. An Australian non-binary artist, completely unashamed and open about their identity, not pushing it to the point where, you know, it becomes dull, but keeping it in there so it so it's part of the message.
And I mean, big shout out as well to the video clip for the song we just heard, Big Ol' Hammer by G Flip.
Yeah.
In that I think most of the backup dancers are wearing binders, short hair.
There you go, see?
It's very non-binary.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous. So big shout outs, big love to G Flip from the Queering the Air team.
Yeah. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. G Flip.
Yes, exactly. So
bit
now,
of nationalism there for you, Muggles.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get to the meaty bit of Queering the Air today.
We should come up with a new intro. It's called The Meaty Bit.
The Meaty Bit, yes.
I do think you go like, nom, 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 nom.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Nom, 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 nom.
I think, nom, nom, nom. I think you might have to join us in the studio now, after the show.
All about sound effects.
Yeah.
Yes. So is Mads.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into some roller derby talk with Muggles.
Beautiful.
And if you don't mind, just reintroducing yourself with your names, pronouns, what you do at derby, and then we'll get into explaining what that is.
Yeah, so my name I was given at birth is obviously not Muggles. It is Nicole. But at roller derby, we all get a name either given to us or we choose a name. My pronouns are she and they, and my roller derby name is Muggles. And I kind of chose that because it fits with my last name. It's kind of a pun on my last name. But also, I can't skate, which in a skating sport makes me a bit of a muggle, I think.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
I like that.
Yeah,
I've been thinking about joining roller derby since I attended the last tournament. And, like, I've been thinking about a roller derby name. What do you think of Derby DeVito?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. We'll see if I get into it, but very fun that you get those. It's sort of like a real trans thing that you get another name when you go to derby.
Yeah, it kind of really helps to like leave the hard things of your life kind of off track, and you become this person and you can just kind of play and be. And I don't know, I think I get called Muggles now in the world more than I get called Nicole, and so I'm often like, wait, hang on, who? And so yeah, like a lot of my friends, I don't really know what their real name is.
You
don't know what the name that they use day to day is. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool world where you don't even refer to, it's like if you did theater and you only referred to each other by character names, like,
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, it's another form of transition, isn't it?
It really is. So I got a couple of questions for you, but we'll keep this as cash as we can.
I won't. I'm going to be manic.
Okay, go for it.
I'm here for both. It's all good.
Look, you mentioned this before we got on air, and so I really felt that we needed to start with this question. Mm-hmm. Where's the ball?
Yeah, so that's the first question anyone ever asks when they come and watch this wacky-ass sport. They're like, what is happening here? Where's the ball? How do they get points and who's winning and what even is happening? Mm. So roller derby is a team sport on roller skates. So that's the quad skates, the wheels like cars, not the ones
in
the line.
Yeah, the four, not the...
And they... what happens is the game goes for 2 30-minute halves, but then even it's broken down even further to that to up to 2 minute jams. And jams are where the gameplay happens. And in that, you'll have four blockers on a track and one jammer. And your jammer is basically your ball. So they're the person who scores the ball, the points, and their job is to push through everybody, lap them, and then come back around and try and push through everybody again and get the points. So your blockers are trying to stop the opposing jammer from doing that task.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, if we were to really, like, if you could put it in the plainest language you could, what is roller derby?
Rugby on roller skates.
Yeah.
Where the person is the ball.
Great.
The person.
Rugby on roller skates where the person... is the ball.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about today, roller derby. I love this. I guess as a queer person that has an aversion to sports, and I do believe Mads joins me in that stance.
Oh, I just don't have the energy anymore, that's all.
So, I mean, like, something that's put me off doing sports a lot in my life is my gender. Mm. There is a lot of talk in the world right now about whether trans people should be able to compete in sports. And I noticed something a little weird when I went to derby. That wasn't the case. What's going on there?
Yeah, so roller derby has always been a very fierce sport for predominantly women, but also people who... want to be a part of a fierce community. It's a bit bit feminist, a bit rage, stick it to the man sort of space. Roller Derby exists in, so the tournament that you attended, Atlas, was a open gender roller derby tournament. So it was the first tournament that's happened, at least in Australia, that's been completely open gendered as a team. So all the teams had people of all genders competing in it, whereas previously we've just had divisions or a few games of that. But the general policy of roller derby is if the version of roller derby that you play is the version that's being played, you can play it. Basically. So if you align with that, then you play it.
If I was a trans woman who was born, I hate using these terms, but AMAP, and I went, identify as a woman, there's a woman's team. Can I join the woman's team?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, very inclusive.
And being non-binary myself, Nicole, what team would I join?
Whichever team you want, wherever you want. So, yeah, it's a really, it's a space where people have felt like they can kind of compete at any level. We do have some competitions which are kind of women only, but having said that, still our women's teams include gender diverse people. They just generally don't include cis men in them, and so and then our open tournament includes cis men as well if they wish to compete.
We do include the cis as well
if we have to.
And I mean, like, from the people I interacted with at that tournament, even the quote-unquote cis men that I ran into didn't seem extremely cis or straight.
Yeah, look, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it seems to me that regardless of what, you know, the gender representation of any individual might be, I mean, there is, it seems to me, a definite queerness to the overall feel and look of roller derby as it exists today.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where that came from, but it certainly is kind of a queer sport, I think people would consider.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got predominantly queer people and then I would say a bunch of soccer mums who are trying to, like, get away from their kids.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
They try to get away from them, but there were quite a few kids at the tournament.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well. And there is junior roller derby as well. So there is a generation of kids who are actually learning to play as well and are, like, impressive.
What does that look like? Because, I mean, to kind of give you a visual of what I witnessed in this sport was a wall of very butch, beautiful people and this so-called jammer just ramming into that wall of people. So how does that look with children?
The same, but with children. so you can learn to play roller derby from any age. From about 5 is when a lot of people might start playing. But you obviously have to level up in terms of safety. And so there's a lot of roller derby that is based on safety and making sure that people aren't hurting themselves. And so there'll be different levels. So it might be a non-contact to start with. So it's more about, like, kind of jigging and trying to get around somebody. While on roller skates, and then it kind of levels up. So you can end up having, like, a moderate contact, which is like you can hit them, but only for like 5 seconds, or you've only can only hit them at half speed, not at full speed. And so a lot of the juniors would only be doing that moderate level contact, usually until they're, not always, but until they're about 15, 16, and then they might level up to that. But, like, there's roller derby competitions for juniors and adults. So the Junior World Cup for roller derby is actually happening in July in Brisbane. So there's 10 different countries coming to Australia to compete in the World Cup, which is pretty impressive. These 16-year-olds are incredible.
Yeah, and I just, like, really want to draw back to what we've been talking about roller derby when we talk about this, of several countries coming over to Australia, for a queer sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't involve a ball.
that doesn't involve a ball. Certainly involves skill, however. One of the moves that I remember in particular when the last time I was at roller derby was a move where one of the players assists another player to get well in front by grabbing their arms and swinging them around in front of them.
Yeah, the whip.
Yeah.
People who might have seen Whip It, the movie.
So that's Whip It, to be clear, two words, not Whip It as in a style of dog.
No, and I just keep giving shout-outs this episode, but shout-outs to Elliot Page
in
that movie.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't even made that connection. There you go.
Yeah.
They're the key character, I think. They're the, what is it, Babe Ruthless, I think their name is.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a rad derby name.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. But we interrupted you. If people have seen the movie Whip It.
No, yeah, so if people have seen the movie, you'll see that move happen quite a bit within that movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rules in roller derby, and so it kind of depends on how you do that, to do that safely and without hurting people. My favourite move is, like, people jumping. So they jump the apex a lot. So roller derby happens in a track. And so the apex is kind of the round, and there'll be like a whole group of blockers, and they'll just come skating in kind of, and then fly and land it. And it's so impressive. Like, and you're like, wait, what happened? Where? How?
Oh, yeah. I think I witnessed people just like take a step over someone and then leap, and you're in roller skates.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I can barely jump in shoes, you know? Like,
I can't stand up. in roller bays, yeah.
Yeah. So, Muggles, I want to draw back to something you said at the beginning. You don't skate.
Nah.
How are you involved in roller derby? It's a skating sport.
Yeah, so roller skates are really round and they roll a lot, and that's really hard. And I've not yet learned that myself. But the really cool thing about roller derby is there's kind of community for everybody in lots of different ways. So I'm a non-skating official, of which there is, in to make a game happen, there's 9 of us. And then there's also skating officials as well. But we also have people like commentary teams, and they are on the mic talking about things. We have bench staff. So each of the teams would have like a bench coach who yells at them to do stuff, and they ignore it half the time. Sometimes they listen. So there's all of those kind of things. So I've done a lot of those non-wheelie related things. Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I joined roller derby. I was living in Adelaide, and someone skated up to me at an event and handed me a flyer, and I was like, wait, this is a real sport? I've just seen it in movies. And I was kind of in that space where I was questioning my own sexuality, and I was like, cool. And so I went along and I saw this beautiful community of people who just were and who could just be, and I was like, this is awesome. And so when I moved to Melbourne, the first thing I did was try and find a roller derby community that I could be a part of. Learning to skate will come one day, but for me, I really love doing the non-skating things, and I don't know, I like a bit of the power of telling someone that they're fouled out because they've been naughty too many times, or
naughty, get off the track.
You have done crimes against derby.
Yeah, no crimes against derby.
You can do seven. You can do seven.
Oh, so seven.
Seven crimes against derby, and then you're out.
Okay, so we can teeter on that. So if I get seven, I'm out.
Seven is out.
So I can do six.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Got it.
Good to know.
Yep, we can do six crimes, Mads.
I'll always be out within the first couple of minutes.
Unless your crimes are really bad, and then we might just kick you straight out. But that's rare.
Like, how bad would it have to be? What would you have to do to get kicked off?
Deliberately willful and aggressive.
So any banging together is strategic rather than just biffo.
Yeah, you can't just punch someone. Yeah. You've got to, like, actually have strategy about how you hit them.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm curious, you said that, like, your intro into it, you were beginning to question your sexuality. You went to this team, found this beautiful community. Has that community been every team you've interacted with?
Yes, that was a team in Adelaide. I went along and I was like, oh my gosh, look at the rainbows, look at the people. They're all gorgeous, they're stunning, and they're lovely, and nobody cares that I've got these questions about myself. Nobody is judging me for that. They're all just like, yeah, sweet, cool, do you want to play? And so that's been a really cool thing, I guess, in that regard. And yeah, everywhere I've been, the same values have kind of lived out within Derby. So I've been a member of teams. I'm now an independent official, so I don't have a particular team that I'm connected with, but it just gives me that opportunity to kind of be a part of every team in some ways, and everyone seems to welcome you in and love you, and you've got a whole family of people everywhere.
That sounds like a really stunning space to be in, to be honest. Yeah, particularly as someone queer that is averse to sports, coming and seeing this Derby stuff is so fulfilling to see that community. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, there are people that have come along and have been like, oh, I could never do that. That sounds really rough. That sounds really dangerous. No, thank you. But then they see something that they really enjoy, whether that be being a scorekeeper or a timer or, you know, commentating the game, and they go, oh, actually, I could do that. And, you know, they're just as much part of the family of the Derby community then. Someone who's actually taking to the track as well.
Well, another thing I've noticed too is that it is also very much a spectator's sport. People who are there, you know, they are very much part of the event. Everyone there is part of the event, including those who are there to cheer on.
I thought one of the most beautiful moments, I think, and I witnessed this more than one moment, this happened time and time again when I was at the Derby tournament, was when somebody was injured, when they fell and they could not get back up, immediately people from the sidelines grabbed a blanket and got on each side of them to shield them from being seen in that vulnerable state.
That's great.
Yeah, so it's always one of those things, and as soon as they do get up, whether that be on a stretcher out in an ambulance, hopefully not, but, you know, there's always a round of applause and everyone kind of stops and stands and acknowledges that person for that. The other really beautiful thing, I think, is at the end of a Derby game, the spectators will be invited to come up to the edge of the track and the skaters will skate around and high-five them. And so every time, you know, you get that kind of interaction with your Derby player and you get to be in that community and be a part of it. And so there's always, you know, a lot of young kids will kind of run up to quickly get the best prime spot to do the high fives. And
yeah, I saw kids that were in one of the matches I saw a couple of years ago that they knew the name of specific players and they were yelling their name out and...
Yeah, and posters.
Yes,
it's really fun to make like really punful.
Yes,
posters about, you know, people, and you know, you've got people who are coming out, and their whole family might bring a poster for them. My family came and visited me at a tournament once, and had posters all about me, and I was kind of just on the bench telling teams what to do. And it was just so lovely to have that support and the cheer on there. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so nice. Like,
yeah. I'm like really curious about the fun side of it. Cause obviously the sport is quite serious. You are like, if I'm facing a wall of gorgeous butchers, I'm taking it very seriously.
Oh no,
But I did see a lot of fun stuff happening. What's some of the most fun stuff you've seen happen at a Derby tournament, sort of in between those matches?
Yeah, we like to have a good time. You'll often see people who have taken a fall but can get back up doing the worm, just, you know, because the game's kind of finished or they're in a break and they'll just do the worm because it's funny, or if they've fallen funny, they might do the splits and kind of do a bit of a flip and a dance kind of with that. We love a good dance party, so if there's ever a timeout for some reason, you'll often see people doing a little bit of a dance party. We have what's called the jam timer. That's one of the non-skating official roles, and their job is to keep time of the game. But so whenever there's a timeout, they've all got hand signals and this kind of stuff to do with those things that they have to just stand on this line and do that. And a lot of the time people will come up, stand up and shadow them and do the same thing. And so then you've got, you know, half a dozen people doing the same action and, you know, it looks really funny, but it's one of those things that you just make fun with the moments you have. We often call a perfect 30 on a stopwatch, so 30-00, which is what the penalty time you have to sit is.
Mm-hmm.
We call that catching a unicorn. And so some of the times, like I've been making unicorns all year and I've been giving them out to people who get a perfect 30. And so, yeah. And then officials also get given patches, and we love patches. So these are iron-on like motifs, and you get jackets and you have your battle jacket and you add them to your jacket. And so, yeah, I mean, I have a dozen or so of these patches and I just love them.
Yeah, I mean, if you check out our Instagram after the show, we'll post a photo and you'll get to see what one of these jackets looks like. Because I'm looking over at Muggles right now and I can see a trans badge, I can see a non-binary badge, a flamingo, we can see the Australian Indigenous flag. And then on the other side, we've got some more derby-looking things. We've got officer, bench, exact, mixed, drama, which is a bin on fire, which I'm kind of in love with.
And we've all caused a bit of drama in places, haven't we?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. If we wouldn't be the queer community, yeah, if we exactly weren't causing drama. I think that's kind of our cornerstone of our identity, isn't it?
I think so.
Yes.
Yes.
As our other co-host that's not with us today would say, be gay, do crime.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Including derby crime.
Derby crime.
Derby crime. Only six, though.
Only six
derby crimes.
And not outrageous ones.
No.
No punching.
Don't catch the unicorn.
Don't catch the unicorn.
Am I getting that right?
Well, if you're an official, you want to catch a unicorn.
Oh, yes.
But if you're a player, you don't really want a penalty. So
yeah.
So then you've got to sit the 30.
Yes, that's right.
You have to think about all the wrong things you've done.
Is that so? 30 minutes sitting on the bench thinking about 30, what you've 30 done.
Seconds.
30 seconds.
Yes. Okay, I was like 30 minutes thinking about what I've done. That really sounds punitive.
You get sent to the penalty box for 30 seconds.
Mind you, with the pace of derby, I dare say that 30 seconds feels like 30 minutes.
Well, so each jam will only go for up to 2 minutes. Yeah. So the way it's determined is the first jammer that gets through all the blockers, they get to become the lead jammer.
Hmm.
And so they get to control the game. And so they can choose to strategically kind of keep doing it. If the opposing jammer is really blocked in, they might just keep doing laps and get more and more points. Or they might go, oh, this other jammer is really fast. I need to just stop this game and restart so that we don't lose points doing that.
How do we stop the game? How would they stop the game?
So because they're the lead, they've got the opportunity to call it off. And so they would tap their hips repetitively,
yeah,
and that would signal to the referees that they are calling it off. Mm-hmm. And then the referees blow like a billion whistles. And so there's a series of three whistles repeated four times, I think. Or is it four, three times? Anyway, it's a lot of whistles. A lot of whistles. And then everyone echoes the whistles. So then there's even more whistles.
Yeah. So if you ever see someone tapping their hips on the court,
yep,
that's a jammer calling it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. How do I identify who a jammer is?
So they have a star on their helmet. So all skaters are required, obviously, to wear helmets. Everyone will have a mouth guard in, except for referees. Referees don't need mouth guards because their theory is that they're not being contacted.
Theory.
The theory is. And then they'll also have knee pads, elbow pads, and wrist guards. Some people also choose to have, like, shin pads and butt pads.
Is that why all the booties were so juicy?
Some of them, yeah, because you don't want to fall on your tailbone.
No.
So some people have padded pants.
I want some padded pants.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
They're pretty fun. And some people will even have, like, chest things as well so that they don't get hit in the chest too much. They'll have protection there as well. But that's all optional. But the elbows, wrists, and knees and helmets are compulsory parts of that. And so on those helmets, there's covers or called panties sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a star on them. And that is how we determine the jammer.
Mm-hmm.
We also have one other helmet cover, which has a stripe on it. And that person is the pivot. the role of the pivot is they're a blocker predominantly, but if the jammer was to get really, really stuck and just could not do it anymore, they do have the option of taking their star off and handing it to the person with the stripe,
mm-hmm.
And that's called a star pass, and then they can become the jammer for the rest of that time.
Mm. I've got to jump in here with a real burning question of my own. Mm. And I do sort of know the answer to this one because you've told me, but I really like feel it needs a mention. What is Eat the Baby?
So Eat the Baby is, there's a whole bunch of different random phrases that are being used by coaches. And so when both of the jammers hit one of them off of the track, they have to enter behind the other jammer. And so what will happen is that the jammer will kind of draw them back in the reverse direction, and then they'll have to enter in behind them. And then the blockers will kind of end up engulfing the jammer that's on track. And so that's called Eat the Baby.
And so we're just kind of like creating a circle around this jammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
We also have seal clubbing and can opening and what else do we have? Like goating and, yeah, there's just so many random phrases that are used.
And goating in derby is surprisingly not the positive thing it is when we talk about it colloquially.
Yeah, no. Goating means that the blockers have basically stolen one of the other blockers and have trapped them so that they can't get through, so that therefore they have the pack definition. So you have to stay within a certain area. And so if you've got one person from the opposing team with you, you create the pack, and so therefore you have the power to control more of the game.
Beautiful. Mm. Thanks for that explanation. So before we wrap up, it's 3:48 p.m. on Sunday, the 22nd of June here at Queering the Air. I would love to give you an opportunity to answer a couple more questions. This is going to be all around. How do our listeners get involved if they've loved what they've heard today?
So roller derby is one of those things that it's around, but you wouldn't realise. A lot of places are really like kind of small in those things. So there's probably about maybe 14, 15 roller derby clubs in Victoria. And so both regionally and, you know, CBD wise, there's probably a club within 15 minutes of you. And so, yeah, I guess just searching out wherever you live for roller derby, and you should be able to find something. You can get involved as a commentator, as a official, as a referee. You can learn to skate and then eventually join a team. So there's all of those kind of things. Or you can just come along and watch some of our games. A lot of the time we play regionally, which is a really good opportunity for the regional communities to get invested in and supported. But yeah, we play lots of different tournaments. Most clubs would have a home team game every week. Well, every month probably or so. There's usually somewhere there's a home team game happening every week nearly. And then there's a tournament happening every other week. And there's always something that's on. You can always start by YouTubing roller derby games in Australia. Look them up. There's teams of a variety of levels and skills and stuff. So the Victorian Roller Derby League is one of the top roller derby leagues in the world. So they've competed in the global champs for a number of years and have won it previously. And I think next weekend a lot of people are heading off to Austria for the World Cup for roller derby. So this is the adults competition, but like Team Australia will be going, and there's I think 40 countries competing in the World Cup in Austria over the next week and a half or so. So there's always opportunities to kind of connect with that, either through finding a local club and or just watching through other streams online and stuff.
And I understand a number of the clubs do also offer training opportunities.
Yeah, so they'll have like a learn to skate program or rookies. Some people call them fresh meat. And so, yeah, there's all these kind of programs that are designed to help you learn to skate. So it doesn't matter if you've never skated before.
Yeah.
You can join. Most clubs would have equipment that you can borrow until you kind of decide if you like it or not, because skate gear can be expensive, especially the good stuff for roller derby.
I'm going to pop in here and just mention, when it comes to skates, Impala roller skates are not derby official.
Barbie skates, yeah. So they are beautiful skates, but they have a heel. Some people do skate in them, so it's not like a blanket rule, but they're just not the most versatile and able to kind of do the turns and the stops and the twists that you need to be able to do. So derby skates look a little bit more boring because they are flat shoes. They don't have sparkly colors as much, but then you can accessorize them. So most people do. And then, you know, you can custom your skates and get them in the colors you want. You can get the wheels in the colors you want, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, briefly, while we've got a couple minutes left, how do people accessorize themselves on the track?
Yeah, so roller derby historically has been one of those things where, you know, fashion is all a thing. We used to start with a big skate out, which is a bit of a dance routine that each team would do, kind of their battle cry before their game. And we've kind of lost a little bit of that sometimes in the attempt to be more competitive and more recognized as a sport. But we still have that in many ways. So, you know, teams have uniforms, but a lot of people will still have the fishnets, the mini skirts, the, you know, those kind of things. And then everyone loves derby makeup. So it'll often be some sort of face paint or eyeshadows, glitter.
For example, Nicole is sitting in front of us here in the studio with rainbow eyes, with a gold glittery outline.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, so I'm heading to a rainbow game later tonight. So, yeah, so everyone's always doing something in that way. Obviously, you can't really do your hair because you've got a helmet on. So it's always very exciting to see what kind of things people have. Some people are really known by their faces of makeup that they do. So they'll do that and it might match their name and kind of their identity as part of that. So
Shout out to Suffocate, who is one of the derby officials I saw at Otto, that was wearing full drag king makeup.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Referee. We had someone skating called Murderface, and so they had big Murderface kind of makeup. And when they kind of retired from playing and they became a referee, they didn't have that on. And I was like, who are you? Where have you come from? Then I worked out it was the same person I'd known for a couple of years. And so it was really exciting just to see the difference people have. I mean, officials and referees do have uniforms, and we wear those to kind of make sure that we're impartial and not favouring a particular team, but we still like to have our little glittery moments.
Absolutely.
Where we can.
So as we wrap this conversation up, it is 3:55 p.m. What message do you want to leave people with? Where do you want people to go?
Roller derby is for everybody. There's opportunities for juniors, for adults, for people who don't know how to skate, for people who want to learn to skate, and for people who don't think they'll ever get on skates. And so if you're interested in being a part of a community, there's always a space for you, and you have those opportunities. So reach out to your local club, wherever that is. Roller Derby Victoria is a Facebook group that might help you find your local club if you're in Victoria. There's always opportunities to join clubs, and whether it's socially or as a referee.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Nicole, aka Muggles, for joining us today. I think we've had quite a wonderful conversation.
Such a great guest.
Yes, fantastic guest. Very knowledgeable, very honoured. So we really appreciate your company and for sharing with our listeners the magic of roller derby.
And your meow meows.
Meow, meow,
and
meow.
Your meow meows. Absolutely. So that is about all the time we have this wonderful Sunday afternoon. Again, a big thank you to Nicole for joining us here at Queering the Air. To our listeners, skate, don't run, to join your local derby team. We're going to see you next week at about the same time in about the same place here at 8:55 a.m. on your radio dial at 3CR Melbourne. You've been listening to Queering the Air with Atlas, Mads and Nicole. So for this lovely afternoon, we are going to leave you with a wonderful song by a Melbourne punk band headed up by a lovely trans woman. They're called Hormones. Yes. And this song is going to be, I Want to Be Your, what is it called? I Want to Be Your Her Friend. And before we play that, I just want to have a quick shout out to the next show on this afternoon. That is Salaam Radio. They have some wonderful presenters, so I absolutely urge you to stay tuned in and give them a listen. Thank you for being here with us this afternoon, and we will leave you with I Want to Be Your Her Friend by The Hormones.
As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.